Well, I'm going to continue sharing some of the things God has been speaking about concerning vision and destiny for 2016. I'm going to share quite a lot of slides, but I'm not going to explain a lot of them. So if you need to go back over them, they're always available on the website. I want to just share what God said rather than trying to explain it. So allow God to speak to you through it. And if your spirit gets drawn to something, then go back to it. But as sons of Issachar, we need to understand the times and the seasons and therefore know what to do. So what season are we in? What season is each of our lives in? Because we may well be in different seasons in our lives, depending on what God's doing. But are there overall seasons and things that he's doing? We need to understand them so that we can outwork them. If we're called to be forerunners, then God calls us to experience those things and then help other people to experience them. We're working according to a prophetic timetable. We're in a period where God's judgment has been released. So judgment, justice, grace, and mercy are being cycled. And we're getting ready for a harvest of laborers that's coming. I want to share just one more prophetic word that has been released internationally. Because it's got several things in it which we can draw from. But I want you to think of it not in an old way, but a new way. So Cindy Jacobs is a well-known prophetic voice. So there is a season when there will be global kingdom connections made. Leaders from across the world will begin to function together behind the scenes. Now, we might think behind the scenes where no one knows what they're doing, but actually, I believe it means behind the heavenly veil. Daniels and Josephs, who have been prepared for years, will step into places of favor and visibility in all spheres of society. And I think God is preparing the Joseph, Daniel, Joshua, Enoch generation, and all those things apply. There will be connections between apostles and prophets. Again, don't think earthly that you've already seen in the past. Think heavenly, because this will result in prophetic words not only being released, but also implemented to see their fulfillments. And that's what we're in that period right now. A renaissance is coming that will bring great change and cause nations to come alive. The body of Christ will begin to manifest new levels of spiritual wisdom. Business leaders will be recognized for their wisdom and will be sought after even by the world as the Issachars. They will come into visible prominence as leaders in nations. Now again, I think people could interpret that as, oh, well, we're going to take over the world, nation in that way. But we're called to disciple the nations to follow Jesus. So the leaders that are going to come forward are those who, I believe, engage heaven and bring heavenly wisdom. 2016 is a hinge year where we are approaching the 500th anniversary of the Great Reformation, beginning in 1517, when Martin Luther nailed 95 theses in the Wittenberg in Germany. What was once a reformation will now be a great transformation. So things are moving forward. Whole armies of angels are being released into the earth to see these things prophesied come to pass. Definitely concur with that. Many dreams were given about angelic hosts, and the good news is these angels are sent to minister to individuals and to nations. And absolutely concur with that. A great move of the Holy Spirit upon children ages 2 to 12 began in 2014. This will spread to other nations this year and will grow rapidly in intensity. They will be the Samuels of this generation, very accurate in hearing God's voice. Now, I'm going to share some more about that next week, because there's a number of things being prophesied about children and how God is going to use children, and I think we need to pull that together, and some of my experiences in heaven are quite interesting in regards to children. In the midst of this connection between church and society, there will be an agitation of old wineskins and persecution of the leaders who are trying to bring reformation. Well, get ready for that. We have an opportunity to embrace a new generational beginning, and I believe that's what God is actually speaking forth. You know, there is a new generation that we can be part of, and there's another generation coming that we can be part of helping to come into being. So as sons of Issachar, we need to interpret prophetic revelation that's been cycling around and is being released from a new perspective. Place it into a heavenly order, the Melchizedek order, lion, ox, eagle, man perspective. Use it as encouragement and authority to act and bring governmental legislation order. It's like, no longer are words just brought out by God and then we sit back and wait for them to happen. God is actually calling us to take a word and to begin to bring it into being, to begin to call it forth, and to be responsible as sons to establish it. Mature, when we were immature, God did most things for us, just like we did for our children. But when we grow into maturity, he expects us to do the things that sons would do. And the more mature we get, the more authority that he's going to release to his children. So the Joshua generation operates according to the order of Melchizedek as forerunners of this heavenly royal priesthood to prepare the next united generation to embrace their inheritance. God is wanting us to take our place. These are heavenly positions of government to rule and legislate out of intimacy and relationship. Here is a church, and I believe many places around the world have received two fiery scrolls. And the first one was the scroll for the harvest, that billionfold harvest of harvest that's coming. And Bob Jones, one of the guy who prophesied that in 1975, as one of the cloud of witnesses, came and presented us with that scroll, and we accepted that. Jesus also gave us a scroll for the Joshua generation. And I want to go into a little bit more about who God wants to reach as that Joshua generation today. As having accepted responsibility for these scrolls, we need to start to begin to operate, legislate them. So I'm going to focus on what Jesus has said and what God said about the scroll for the Joshua generation. I want to honor the Moses generation. There have been many Moses in my life through books and teaching and various things that have caused me to want more. They've helped me navigate through the wilderness, inspired me to pursue my destiny. I was actually just thinking a couple of days ago, you know, I was born again in 1970. So 2010, when I've engaged heaven for, you know, as a ongoing experience, was 40 years. So I spent 40 years of my life wandering around the wilderness looking for a time such as this. I was looking for something more. I hadn't found it. You know, I knew there was something more. There was a cry in my heart, there's got to be more than this. I just didn't know what it was. And the many people have helped me on that journey to discover what it was. So to embrace the whole apostolic and prophetic, and that led me to seek for more intimacy and therefore engage heaven. And I honor those people, but I don't honor necessarily the structures and mountains that some of them have built. Because God uses people, but doesn't endorse everything that they do. Mostly, I believe, like Moses, they have led people to the edge of the promised land, but have not led them to cross over. Because a new generation has to arise to help people cross over into their inheritance, the Joshua generation. So many have been forerunners in the last generation, but they've given a bad report and have kept people under their coverings, those old leadership structures in the wilderness. And as much as I honor those people who've gone before, and my desire is for them to engage what God's doing, it's time for the mantle to be passed for the Joshua generation. You know, we need to receive that mantle of authority, and we need to start functioning. God loves his people. He loves all his people. But he hates them being in religious slavery. And there is so much religious slavery and bondage that people are under, and God wants to set them free. And there's something moving, certainly in me, to feel for those people who are in the wilderness and do not see their promised land. I love the real church. I love the ecclesia of God. And the ecclesia of God are people who have a mandate gathered around a heavenly blueprint. They're not what we think as church. That's why I'm not using the word church, because church is an Anglo-Saxon word which has been translated from a Greek word which doesn't have the same meaning in English. And so when we think church, we have a whole backlog of history, and God wants something to arise. And I believe that's the ecclesia of God. But I want to see people set free from the religious institution of church to come into the freedom of sonship that creation needs. Creation does not need people in religious slavery. It needs people who know their sonship and their identity as sons of God to answer creation's call and to bring creation back into its original intended purpose. So God said to me, "Son, legislate the area, the region, and the nations for justice and call for freedom. I call you to prepare to administrate my heart for people's freedom from religious oppression. The lion will roar as the eagle soars to new heights of revelation and wisdom to release people to release freedom to my people. So God spoke to me about giving him time to legislate. And to legislate, and again, it's not a word that you often associate with church and Christian things, but to legislate means to make or enact laws. And as sons of the kingdom of God operates under legislation. And so we need to know how to make and use legislation to bring things into governmental order, because the kingdom is about government, no end to the increase of his government and of peace. So God wants to enable us to establish peace, wholeness. So I've been using some existing legislation to administer in the kingdom of God, and I've been making some new legislation and using the authority that that gives to see the rule of God's kingdom bring restoration. One of the things that God asked me to do was to establish a law of religious freedom. And he said, I hereby authorize you the law of religious freedom. The law approves the right of the Joshua generation to set my people free. You're authorized to bring freedom to the oppressed, to release light into the shrouded darkness of the old Moses order. You're authorized to administer Emmaus Road-like encounters. For those of you who don't know what Emmaus Road is, it was where Jesus met two disciples, and they didn't know who he was. They couldn't discern who he was. And he gave them revelation from the Word of God, and then unveiled himself, and they saw the real Jesus. And God wants to unveil himself to those who are in bondage to a religious understanding of Jesus and reveal the new Jesus. It says, to those whose minds have been veiled by the coverings of men. And I want you to think how much of what you know, of everything you've learned in a Christian perspective, has come from someone else telling you. How much do you know of what God has told you? Because if all you know is what other people have told you, you've just got information. God wants to give you first-hand revelation. So everything I might say, don't just, oh, well, I'm going to accept that or not accept it. Go back to God with it and get God to give you the revelation to your own heart about it. Because revelation comes from directly from God. Information comes from people. And it may be good information, it may be anointed information, but actually you won't have the benefit of that unless you take it and apply it to your own lives and get the experience of it so you know it for yourself. Because knowledge is not information, it's experience. And God wants you to experience his truth, not just have heard about it. So you are authorized to call for and administrate justice for God's people. In love, you're empowered to challenge the old wineskins and their associated mindsets. The old Moses order mountains can be shaken with the winds of change. And the winds of change is an order of angels. We have one of them who is here, over there. But there's an order that's been released to shake things loose. You are called to the Joshua generation. You are to call the Joshua generation to action, to cry into the valleys of decision and release heaven's sound and light. You've been assigned the ordinance of the angelic host to engage in visitations, dreams, and visions. In other words, angels are ready to go and visit people who may have never had an angelic encounter before, may never have had a vision before, but we can assign them. Joel 3:14, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon grow dark and the stars lose their brightness, which is referring to the end of an old government. So the old Moses government, the sun and the moon, the symbols of authority, are no longer functioning. The lion roars from Zion. The lion representing a king in government starts to roar from the Joshua generation. God's people are beginning to awaken and gather spiritually, ready for the call to cross over to beyond the veil, to engage heaven, to engage the spiritual realms, not to be earthbound. Chickens peck around on the earth. Eagles soar into the heavens. And God is not calling us to be chickens. He wants us to be eagles. Yeah, because what do chickens find? Not much. You know, they find bits and pieces that everything else has left behind. Eagles can see a great distance and can see the things that God has for them. The time has come now. The mantle of authority has been removed from the old Moses generation. A new government has been invested in the Joshua generation. You're authorized to present the Chancellor's seal to the Circle of the Deep. That's the alignment of heavenly houses, to use the red shift to administrate justice. Now, I'm just telling you what God said. I didn't know what a red shift was until he told me. As the Nile ran blood red and waters of the golden calf turned blood red, so the red shift will prepare my people to be freed from their religious slavery. Use this legislation wisely with precision and many will be set free to receive their inheritance. So I took it, I engaged the Court of 70 for authorization to legislate that alignment and that shift, and I started to declare and pronounce the law of religious freedom. So I used that legislation to call for change. And that's what we need to do. We need to start to see change. And if you don't call for change, you're not going to see it. Just because I call for it doesn't guarantee that you're going to receive change unless you take that authority and use it to change your own life, to frame your own life, to call things that God's purpose and plans for you to bring them into being. Because if you're sitting on a chair, you might have been in a pew in a previous church experience, and that's all you do, then all you're doing is listening to me. Now, you need to hear what God is saying, and you need to embrace what God is saying for change. I call for the red shift for the rivers of Babylon, Egypt, and Syria and their religious systems to run blood red on the dust of the golden calves and idols of religion. Because when they built the golden calf, which was an idol, Moses crushed it to dust. And he put the dust into the water and it turned blood red. So God is saying that there is going to be blood running red in those old systems as there is a challenge to the idols and religious golden calves which exist. And God does not want anyone worshipping anything other than him. On the basis of the laws of religious freedom, I call for the veils to be removed from those covered by resistors and rejectors of the new heavenly order. I call for justice on the basis of God's judgment, the exposing of those refusing to take people into the promise, their promised inheritance. I call for a stirring and a quickening of the hearts of those who've been covered and limited. And you all know them. How many people do you know who are sat in a pew today who do not see their full inheritance in God? And you care about it, because God does. And that's why God is calling us to start to legislate and administrate into those who have not seen the light. Now, that doesn't make us any better than them. It's like we're not saying we're better, we know things that you don't, and therefore we're better than you. We're just saying God has called us to be forerunners, to experience something new, and he wants you to experience something as well, to come into the fullness of your inheritance. A whole generation listened to the bad report of 10 spies who saw the same land as Joshua and Caleb. And a whole generation died in the wilderness because they chose not to accept their promise and what God is calling them to have. Two people, Joshua and Caleb, stood firm and did not bow to that. And they then took the next generation in. And God is looking for Joshua's and Caleb's. Those who are willing to say, yeah, I've glimpsed something new, and I want a whole generation to come and receive that. So I call for a new generation to arise. I call for mercy and the light of truth to shine brighter and with more intensity in the darkness of the coverings of men. I call for religious, for justice and freedom from the religious evangelical spirit that's plaguing God's people. I call for holy dissatisfaction to grow in the hearts of God's people and the cry to go up from deep within, there must be more than this. And you're going to find people who suddenly start to feel there must be more than this. And we need to reach out to them. And we need to show them what the more than this is and demonstrate there is so much more than we ever imagined or thought. I remember reading a book once called The Jesus I Never Knew. And it was a book of someone who was in a religious system. And when they saw the real Jesus, it completely transformed how they thought. And God wants to transform how we think. And no matter how much we think we know, there is more to know. Because I imagine all of us, if you put on the scale of all knowledge, how much we know wouldn't be a dot on a page. And that page would fill the whole earth. So we don't know an awful lot, but we know someone who does. And he wants us to come into a deeper relationship with him so he can reveal more of himself and more of his truth and more of his life to us in relationship, because he loves us. So I call for the sound of heaven to resonate in the hearts of those who will become hungry for more as they become dissatisfied with junk food and baby food. I call for more angelic encounters, visitations, dreams, visions, and supernatural engagements. Because it's an encounter with the reality of the spiritual realm which is going to change people. No amount of cajoling is going to do it. We have to demonstrate something new and different, which is the reality of our testimony that we've experienced in engaging God and engaging heaven and engaging the spiritual and the supernatural dimensions that exist. I call for a new desire to rise in the hearts of those who have been misled and covered by religious veils of doctrine and theology that denies the supernatural as normal to our lives. Son, and this is what God said, prepare for two exoduses, one from Egypt and the other from the wilderness. Continue to call, ring the bell, sound the alarm, issue the invitation. Let the sound of heaven's desire go forth with passion. Come out, let the exodus begin. And that exodus isn't going to begin unless we administrate it. Calling out to people, in sending angels to go and engage people. Because people need to come into the light. Your intensity can increase as you have come near, you may come and have come deeper. So the more we come nearer and deeper into God, the more we can shine that light and the revelation of that light and be a demonstration of that light. Son, stir my people to call into the darkness and penetrate light, but with penetrative light. That is calling each of us here. To look, where is there darkness? And can I call into that darkness? Yes, you can. Send forth the light to pierce the dark veils of blindness and deception. My ordinances will be at the command of my people if they will accept their mission. In other words, God has prepared a whole lot of resources to enable us to do this. This is not mission impossible. Yes, it will be a challenge, but if you feel my heart, you will be motivated to overcome every obstacle and move every mountain. And if we're comfortable and happy where we are, and we're not really bothered about those who aren't, we won't do anything about it. And God wants to stir our hearts. He wants to move our hearts to be motivated by love for those who may be saying nasty things about us, who may be criticizing, who may have made judgments against what God is doing. But we're going to love them in spite of that, because that's what's going to change things. If you rise to this call, I will remove fear and disappointment with an explosion of my love. Because most people are stuck because of disappointment and fear. And God wants to release his love to move that. Be my love and experience my love in a measure beyond your wildest dreams. When you are ready, I will hold back the river no more. I will crack open the dam and open the sluice gates of heaven. You must administer the everlasting doors, direct the flow of the river of life to bring abundant, overflowing grace and mercy. Come deeper, my loves, come deeper into the wonder of my heart, and you will never be the same again. God's given us an invitation to come into a level of intimacy which will change us, because we will know him. Son, let the trickle become a stream, let the stream become a tributary, let the tributary become a river, let the river become a raging torrent of love's life-giving energy and power. Let your gateways be opened and your lives be a channel of my glorious love into the world. Son, explore the goodness of who I am. You can't measure my goodness by your past experience and understanding. No matter how much you've understood of God, God wants to show you something which is going to change and transform you. Son, your mandate is to focus on the two scrolls that I've given you. I have given you the legislative authority to prepare the Joshua generation to be ready to receive the Jesus generation. And when God is speaking to me, he's speaking to us, because we're part of this same call. Continue with this dual focus with equal passion, and I'll give you the strength and energy you need for the task. Intensify the call, ring the bell, sound the alarm. Be moved by what moves me. I long for my people to be free to truly know me. I long for my children to walk in my garden with me, enjoying the depths of love and joy and peace that are theirs in the intimacy of my relationship. I long for my children to mature into their heavenly positions of governmental authority. I am calls them to engage I am. Then they will truly experience my love for the world and be moved by my compassion and my desire for the harvest. Because if we don't care about our brothers and sisters, we're unlikely to care for the world. So God wants to stir our hearts to raise up and see the Joshua generation filled so that we can then begin to focus on the harvest. Those that are lost, blind, cannot see, are hurt, damaged, separated, disappointed. All those issues, God will stir and give us a desire for the harvest if we will engage him. Without both generations in unity and agreement, there will be no ark of blessing. There will be no restoration of all things. So we need these generations to come together. Son, I require the two generations in unison as fathers and sons to bring in the final generation. The enemy of your souls has fought hard to keep the generations apart, but I have released the law of fatherhood and sonship to bring them together and turn the hearts of the fathers and sons to each other so the two can become three. Because God wants two generations to produce the final harvest. Malachi 4:5. Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. Now, Elijah came in the form of John the Baptist, and Jesus came in his first coming. And God wants to stir an Elijah people who are going to see Jesus come again in his second coming. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. There's going to be a restoration of fatherhood and sonship. Son, you cannot unite the old and the new. Moses died so that Joshua could carry the mantle. The old must die to become the new, and then there will be no old and new, only fathers and sons. Fathers empowering sons to be about their heavenly father's business. John 17:11 was a prayer that Jesus made. Father, that they may be one as we are one. And that's God's desire, to unite the generations so that we can be operating in unity of heart and mind and purpose. Clear the way by calling for the wilderness mountains to be made low, the valleys of decision to be lifted up, so my people, so long burdened and weighed down by men's coverings, will see their promised inheritance. Then the crooked can be made straight and the rough made smooth, that my people can cross through the veil that has already been parted. I'm calling multitudes to gather in the valley of decision so they can see through the torn veil and have the courage to cross over, leaving the safety of the old for the adventure of the new. Mercy shines the light into darkness, and multitudes will see the light and hear the sound of heaven on earth as my people embrace the new order of Melchizedek in a governmental array. When we take our positions of government, it is going to cause the light to shine. Coronations of royal priests will be held to release my mercy. The blueprints for greater grace and greater mercy will be ordinances prepared and released as good news. The mercy of the light will shine, and many will come to the light of the pillars as walls of fire are in place, which is talking about cities of refuge who have walls of fire and are pillars of fire. A call for the mountains to be made low as the authority to represent the kingdom of God on earth is removed from the Moses generation. Let the valleys be lifted up for all who are under the coverings to receive a call and a sound from heaven's ordinance. Let the angelic legions of heaven be released, stirring the heart or the cry, there must be more than this. Let holy dissatisfaction be stirred in the hearts of those in the valley of decision. I call for a new exodus to begin. Let the wilderness be emptied and the Joshua generation arise and enter the promised land of true sonship and heavenly spiritual authority. That is what God's calling us to take our place as sons of God. I call for shock and awe, earthquake and fire amongst the mountains of men. Let the tremors of heaven begin as grace and mercy, the love weapons of heaven are prepared. Let the lightning bolts of heaven, of heavenly revelation, be armed and made ready. Let the minds of men be challenged by an explosion of heavenly proportion as the masks are removed and truth explodes in the minds of men. Let the armies of heaven be made ready to penetrate the dreams of those without identity, adrift in the wilderness, sea of religious servitude. You know, it's like, you know, a few months ago, I couldn't really be bothered with some of this. It's just like, let's get on and do what we're called to do. But God has touched my heart for people. So I really feel for those who can't see, you know, because I know what they're missing out on. And the more I engage in heaven and the more I see my inheritance and who I am as a son of God, the more I want more and more people to experience that and to come into who they are. The new order of Melchizedek will rise from the ashes and rubble of the collapse of the old. They will emerge from the slavery of the wilderness into the inheritance of the promised land, where all the promises and covenants of God are realized in Jesus. Pioneers, not explorers, who colonize and occupy, not just discover. There's a lot of people out there who are discovering things, but they're not colonizing. They're just discovering new territory. We have to take ground. When they went into the promised land, they had to take and occupy the ground. They were told wherever they put the soles of their feet, that would be their land. So if they stuck with Jericho, they would have never inherited everything that God called them to do. So we have to walk and take possession of the land. Being explorers is great fun, but being pioneers brings a higher level of responsibility to bring colonization. Dominion of my spheres is the destiny of all my children. Let the lion begin to roar order to release heaven's frequency into the earth to shake the fabric of the religious structures and systems created from the poison fruit of the tree of the wrong path. A new age based on ancient knowledge is about to dawn for my people, those who will take their rightful places in the government of their generation. I will show you how time and eternity will become one, beyond time and beyond eternity, where God and the new man will dwell together, where what was and is will converge, and all is one and one is all. There's stuff coming that we can't even imagine or think right now. My kingdom is truly love, and everything must be motivated by love, the fullest and purest expression of righteousness. When a senseless, hate-filled crisis occurs, or a catastrophe of nature, what fills your heart and mind? What reactions occur? What are your instincts? Now, God spoke to me when there were the things in Paris and various things were going on around the world. God spoke to me about my reaction to it and other people's reaction. Because some people's reaction was, bomb them, wipe them out. You know, and actually, my reaction wasn't that. And people were asking me, well, how do we respond to these tragedies or these crises that happen in the world? Yeah, and God asked me to think, what was my reaction? How would you define your emotions? Are they pure or impure? When we see those things taking place, how do we react and how do we respond? God said this, love your enemies and seek for the blessing. That is what the kingdom of God is about. And it sort of almost like from a natural perspective doesn't feel right when people are murdering others and causing great atrocities that we should love them. But that's exactly what the kingdom is about. That's the difference. Because God has loved us when we were his enemies and he's turned us into his friends. How do we react to those situations in the world? And he said this, don't trust the political systems that have been instituted in the name of government as they're not governmental but fear motivated. Most of what goes on in the governments of the world is motivated by fear and greed. We have to demonstrate a new way. Son, fear is the enemy's tool to drive a wedge between God and man, heaven and earth. It takes the expression of perfect love to overcome fear. So we have to demonstrate the love of God. The manifested sons of God will be the fullest earthly expression of perfected love, and they will know me and trust me. Don't be motivated by your impure instincts. Allow them to motivate your transformation into godliness. Whenever you start to react in anger, allow God to transform that into love. Use that in your own life to bring change and transformation. Your true battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the spiritual forces that are my enemies. Remove the tools in the hands, enemy's hands through expressions of true, pure love. The enemy responds and reacts when we come in fear. God is calling us to come in love. Legislate love, respond and prepare with love. Let the experience of my love motivate you. I have forgiven you, so love's true expression is in forgiving and releasing others. Don't be led by your emotions, which are still immature and untrustworthy. Seek me and my pure mind and heart, and I will move you to respond with love. To be moved with by my compassion is a choice that you can all make. All true heavenly legislation must be initiated and motivated by love. All righteousness and justice will administrate mercy empowered by grace. These events will expose the old and new orders and highlight the areas where your heart needs purification and refining. Because I was horrified when I looked at some of the Facebook stuff that was out there in response to some of these things that took place. And there were Christians calling for bombing and wiping out people and all this stuff because they're moved by their emotions. We must be moved by God's love. And if God loves move our emotions, then we're going to be moved in the right direction. You are true overcomers if you use love to bring victory over the darkness in your own hearts. Call into the wilderness for the legislators to cross over and receive their new heavenly and earthly mantles. In this season of justice, I will remove the mantles from the old order. Many more will pass beyond the veil to become the spirits of righteous made perfect. In other words, there are people who are going to die in the wilderness. Some of them have already died. We're seeing some of the old generation pass away because they've come up to the land and they won't cross. More of that's going to take place. Those who refuse to accept their heavenly positions and mantles will relinquish the right to their physical bodies. Justice will be the season to continue this call before greater grace is released and Satan's trophy room is opened continually and plundered. We can begin to open it, but it will be open continually, and we have to be ready for when that takes place. Why? We need to see justice now. Son, a new order is rising. Everything is to become fully new, fully restored to eternity's pattern. I'm calling the sons of men to come home, but where are those homes on the earth that will reflect heaven to welcome my sons and daughters? In other words, where are the cities of refuge? Where are the embassies of God? Where are they? I can't see any of them out there. So if we're calling people to come and engage God, there has to be demonstrations of that on the earth. Let justice be done and the Exodus begin in earnest. Let the Joshua generation arise. Let them take their places in the army of God. Let my breath fill the dry bones emaciated by the old religious orders with new life. Let my children be born again, and become those who taste and see that the promised land is flowing with milk and honey. And that's who God is giving you the invitation to be. Taste and see that God is good. And give a good report. Reach out in love, grace and mercy to all who are wilderness bound. Call, shout to the Moses generation to cross over to receive their true inheritance and find their destiny. Rise up, be bold and very courageous. Place your feet on the land I've given you as an inheritance. Stake your claims and let the government of heaven be on earth once again. I'm calling for benches of heavenly government to form around the blueprints of heaven that I'm releasing. Align the circle of the deep for each season of judgment, justice, grace, and mercy. Release the mandates and blueprints for the embassies of heaven to begin their redemptive purpose. Align the new order, Joshua generation, to be established. Father, Son, Spirit, and man in alignment. Lion, ox, eagle, and man in alignment. Heaven and earth in alignment. Time and eternity in alignment and agreement. Son, increase and amplify the sound. Issue the call into the wilderness once again. So we can't just do this once. It needs to be a consistent, ongoing thing that we do, continuing to legislate it. What has happened already has intensified the opposition of some of those in the Moses positions in the old and entrenched their position. In other words, some of the things that God has been doing in bringing things into the light has caused some people to take a stand against it. Don't expect everyone to say, yippee, what you're doing is great. Yeah, because it's a threat to the old when something new comes. It's always been the case. Whenever God has done something new, there's been a reaction from the old saying, this is wrong. This isn't God. Because what they're saying is, well, we know everything that God's. We've put God into this box. And if it's outside of the box, it can't be God. And actually, God has put us in his box. Because he has no box. Their mountains will crumble and fall, and from the devastation, many will follow the sound and cross over. My heavenly ordinances are being positioned to shake the systems of the old, and old mantles are being removed. New mantles for heavenly and earthly governmental positions are being prepared and will continue to be released to those who have responded to the call. There must be more than this will become the cry as deep calls to deep. The mantles and mountains of the celebrities of the old order will be replaced by the true new order ecclesia that will be the precursors of the embassies of heaven on the earth. You know, we have to become who God's called us to be so that we can become something else. Because unless we establish what we've got now, then we can't establish what God will bring. So it's really important that we begin to get the foundations really clear on what God's doing. Manifold grace, greater grace, and grace upon grace will be released for those who embrace my judgment and justice. There's more to come. Way, way more. You know, I've not fully grasped what this means yet, but I've seen glimpses of what greater grace and grace upon grace will release, and it will go beyond anything you can imagine or think. The religious institutions of the old order will be shaken, and the traditions and theology of men will be exposed. Many will be freed from the slavery mentality of the wilderness to experience true father's heart and embrace their sonship. Many who are leading people on false paths, promising the stars, will be exposed. Hear my words, the ancient paths of the way of life, to engage the seed of and flower and tree of life will become open and accessible to those willing to encounter the fiery sword. The fiery sword that was placed on the garden was not to stop them going in. It was to cause them to have to go through the fire to go in. And of course, Adam and Eve chose to go and hide in the bushes and hide and try and cover themselves up with earthly things. The cherubim, who are standing representing the four faces of God, and the fiery sword, which is an angelic being, are welcoming us to come through the fire. Let the heavenly sound resound, ring the bell, sound, release your frequency. Now, God spoke this over to me over a period of a few months, and he kept reiterating the same thing. We need to sound, make that sound. Be ready to vibrate with increased amplitude. It's time to let the frequency of your light radiate and shine into the darkness around you. You know, you're going to keep the light to yourself, or you're going to let it shine. It's your choice. You know, there used to be a little song that we used to sing in Sunday school. You know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Yeah. Well, God is saying the same thing. Are you going to let it shine? Or are you going to keep it to yourself? I call for an alignment of the circle of the deep. Let the 12 chancellor's houses be aligned for the opening of the house of scrolls. I call for a release of the scrolls for new order ecclesia and cities of refuge to be released. We need the scrolls which have the mandate that then has a blueprint. Because if we don't know what we're authorized to do and we don't know what it looks like, how are we going to build it? And this needs to be released all over the world. Yeah, yesterday we met in a regional setting to release some of those scrolls for our region. And it was great that people engaged heaven and started to see what God was wanting for our region. And actually our region not being what we think it might be or the boundaries that we put on it, but those which God will reveal and release. Yeah, it is time for you and my children to step out of the darkness and be light bearers. The mysteries are ready to be unveiled, but they will not just be a recycling of ancient myths, but new revelation truth. Esoteric knowledge never brings truth, but keeps you in darkness and delusion of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The cult of man will never bring creation out of the bondage to corruption, as it's been trapped it there in the beginning. Son, align the houses to fully release my purposes for each time and season. You are set to be masters of time and space until the ages come truly to reveal your full eternal potential. Till the ages have come, truly reveal your full potential. Be all you can be to reveal all you will be when heaven and earth are brought back into full harmony. In other words, just know your identity and be. And if you are know you who you are, it will release all that you're called to do. It's time for my children to order the affairs of the nations and establish the culture of heaven on the earth once again. Let men present themselves before the high councils of God with pure hearts and pure minds in their generations, having engaged the altar in my temple and offered themselves for service. Arise, shine. It is time for your light to come out of the darkness of obscurity and be revealed. There will be testing times ahead in the coming season where some will be tempted to draw back as they face their personal Jerichos. Stand firm in the face of opposition. When it arises, keep your shield declarations up and don't give any ground to the 20 strong men that have been sent to intimidate you. Now, that's a word that God gave us here, a warning. that there was 20 strong and enemy forces that were being sent against us, but we were given declarations of our mountains as shield, as a shield to protect ourselves. But we need to keep firm in that. Remain diligent and vigilant and stick to your task to equip the legislators. The House of Scrolls is in final preparation to release the assignments for Heaven's government to be established in key strategic forerunner nations around the world. When the government of the Southwest is in place, both in the England and the US, key strategic events will begin to be unfold. Now, I'm going to the US in the Southwest in April, and we started yesterday engaging with the Southwest here in England. And these are the times when these things are starting to take place. Encourage my people to come home to my heart and embrace their eternal identities and destinies. There are many different paths and doors that lead to my heart beyond the veil once you're in the realms of heaven. There is only one legitimate door into the heavenlies, and that is the true door, Jesus my Son. That door is standing open to all who will enter, both on earth and then into the heavens. The only way we can get to God on earth is through Jesus. And the only way we can get into the heavens in legitimacy is through Jesus, who becomes that door that we can go in and out and find pasture. I call for the lion to roar order. I call for judgment to be made in favor of the saints of the new order of the Most High. I call for the old order mountains to crumble and fall. I call for the valleys to be ready and to be raised up so that those who've been under the coverings of men will see for themselves all the wonders of their heavenly positions in relationship and responsibility. That's what the angels are going to do. That's what we can do when we start to testify to our truth and the revelation that we've received. A call for the legislators to take their places and for the foundations of the new order to be established. The wake-up call will be loud and alarming for many, but the bells are about to toll and the warning fires are about to be lit. As you administer justice, multitudes in the Valley of Decision will begin to hear heaven's sound released through my legislators. Justice will cause the amplification of heaven's sound, and deep will call to deep. I'm about to awaken the spirits of those who've been asleep under the coverings of men. Justice administered will prepare for what is about to unfold in the affairs of both the nations and the religious institutions that have become rigid and inflexible wineskins. The new wine of greater grace will require the season of justice to mature it. Truly hungry and thirsty will embrace its full-bodied fragrance and strong flavor. This is like no other wine that's been poured out and will not be the palate to the palate of many. There will be cycles within cycles, and forerunners will be first to experience the tastes of the new wine. Son, those who have heard and responded to the first sounds must prepare to release their sounds into the wilderness with the heart of mercy. That's us. If we've heard a sound from heaven and if we've responded, we must let that sound out, not keep it to ourselves. I'm not going to do it for you. Let the mature take responsibility for the tasks ahead. Call to your brothers and sisters with compassion in your hearts. Implore them to cross over into their inheritance. Release the Emmaus Road experiences to remove religious veils from the eyes of those under the coverings of darkness. Focus and target those mountains that I will reveal and who are being prepared for justice to be released as the result of the judgments that I've made. Those who have closed their eyes and ears and hardened their hearts against my call will be the first to have justice delivered. Great will be the fall of those mountains, but many will come out from among them. Many will come out from the shadows of the old into the light of the new. Sons, arise, shine. The time for your light has come to illuminate the ancient past, to engage beyond the veil. My desire in this next season of justice is an unveiling of the destiny that has been hidden under the coverings and control systems of the old order. No longer will the oracles and visions from heaven be in the hands of the few. No longer will knowledge be used to elevate the few. I am now able, because of the judgments that have been passed, to unveil knowledge and wisdom and understanding to an unprecedented level to those who enter beyond the veils. Fresh revelation for the new order. I'm going to strip away those who, like Gideon's army, are not prepared and are motivated by the experiences and not the relationship. Those who are not prepared to pay the cost and make the sacrifices necessary to possess the possession of their supernatural inheritance. Those who are looking for a shortcut on their journeys will not make it to the end. I'm about to unveil the motives of the hearts of those who say yes but really mean no. I will reveal the dragon's well deep within those who totally give me their hearts. My eyes are going to and fro throughout the earth for hearts who are willing to be completely mine. I'm looking for those who will not shrink back in the face of their personal Jericho. I will expose the sins of Achan who are hiding within the camp, those whose motives are mixed. If they will respond with repentance and humble themselves, all will not be lost, and I will take them through the fires of refining. Those who respond to the light of my challenge self-righteously will fall away and shrink back. The lukewarm will not be able to possess all that's within my heart for them, and the outer courts await them. Make sure you do not become like the foolish virgins who did not have what it took to stay the course and finish the race. If we are to legislate God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, in righteousness we must encounter his love. God wants us to experience his love and encounter his love. God is love. So again today, let the love of God touch your hearts. Let the compassion of God touch your hearts for those who are in darkness to come into the light. So I'm just going to make these declarations and then we're going to go into a time of worship. In that time of worship, open up your hearts. Be prepared for God to touch you. Be prepared to offer yourself to be light. I call for judgment, justice, grace, and mercy to be released. I release the winds of change to shake the wilderness mountains. I call for a holy dissatisfaction to arise in the valley of decision. I call for the release of the cry, there must be more than this. I call for the light to pierce the darkness of the coverings of men. I call for a new exodus from the wilderness. I call for a new wave to cross beyond the veil into their supernatural inheritance. I call for the rising of the Joshua generation. I call for the order of Melchizedek to function. I call for a new dimension of love beyond measure and understanding to be released into our lives. I call for greater grace, manifold grace, and grace upon grace to be released. I call for mercy that triumphs over judgment, flowing out of heaven into our spirits like a stream flowing into our hearts. I call for love stronger than death, the song of all songs to be released. Hear that song today as God sings it over you. I call for love that we can never be separated from, that will never fail and never run out to be released. I call for God to manifest his full presence as love, like a rushing wind, like a tsunami wave, wave after wave of unquenchable love. We can experience that if we are willing to surrender and allow God's love to touch us. And then we can be moved by that love to be the light that the world is looking to see those people who will come out of darkness and come into light. Amen.